At one time, America was among the best educated nations in the world. James Madison of Virginia, a key architect of the Constitution, said, "A well-instructed people alone can be permanently a free people." But surely neither James Madison nor other founding fathers would have been happy with some of the recent developments in modern education. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yet for years in American education, God has not allowed. One notable Christian educator of our time is an author and journalist. His name is Alex Newman, and he joins us now to discuss American education and how to improve it. Alex, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Jerry.
Tell us about your background, because I know you've been studying American education for quite a while.
I have been, yes. I'm an investigative journalist by trade. I've been in journalism for almost two decades now. And back in about 2011, I started really paying close attention to what was going on in the education realm. That was when we were first hearing the rumblings of Common Core and things like this. And so I started digging into it. I ended up writing three books on education, and I realized that this was actually the most important issue. It is a Great Commission issue. We are called to make disciples of all nations, and I would argue that certainly that begins with our children. And so I started digging into how we got into this mess, and I started looking at the history of how the government came to take over education, how they usurped that from parents and from the supplemental role that the church has historically played, and it was absolutely appalling. And so I believe this is one of the most important untold historical stories that everybody needs to know about.
And what's so amazing, though, too, is that the further we go down the road, this problem just doesn't seem to get fixed. I mean, for example, I went on your website, libertysentinel.org, and I saw this recent article from about a month ago, "Government Schools Raising Woke and Illiterate Activists. Chicago Teacher Blows Whistle." And this apparently was a former teacher who was basically describing how, you know, what they're doing is creating more wokesters in our schools.
Yeah, the reality is it's getting worse and worse and worse, and that process is actually accelerating. If you go back to when the government first started taking over education, this was about 150 years ago in Massachusetts. They imported the Prussian system. You know, we still had some of the basic trappings of proper education. The Bible was still the central book in all education. Prayer was a key part of it. Theology was a key part of it. The fear of the Lord, as you just pointed out, was understood to be the most foundational element of a real education. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. Colossians tells us that all the treasures of knowledge and wisdom are hidden in Christ Jesus. And so that was still widely understood. But what has happened over the generations is we have gotten dumber and dumber. We've gotten further and further away from God. And all of the principles, the truths that the Bible teaches have been essentially erased from the minds and from the hearts of our people. This was a deliberate process. That's, I think, one of the things that people struggle to understand, because everybody thinks, well, if we just pour more money into it, or if we just do these reforms, or if we just elect some good people to the school board, we'll be able to turn it around. The reality is you can demonstrate, you can document conclusively with only primary source evidence that this was a deliberate plan going back to the first person to seriously propose that the government ought to be educating our children. His name was Robert Owen. He was waging war on what he described as the Great Trinity of Evil. He defined that as marriage and family, private property, and irrational religion, by which he meant Christianity. He acknowledged that he was getting his ideas from spirits that he was talking to, and he goes on several rants about how important these spirits are to his worldview and to his ideas. So so that's kind of the heart of this. People need to understand that there has been a plan for a very long time to use education, really to use discipleship, if we're quite honest about what we're talking about here, to disciple America's youth, not in the ways of the Lord, not as Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 11, Psalm 78 would have us do, but rather exactly the opposite. And so with time passing, the situation gets worse and worse, because each generation gets dumber than the last one. Each generation gets further and further away from a biblical worldview than the last one. And who would have imagined even 15 or 20 years ago that we'd have children identifying as cats and demanding litter boxes, that we'd have schools facilitating the castration of little boys, that we would have federal data showing that less than 1 in 3 victims of the government school system are even proficient in any of the core subjects. This is all federal data that I'm giving you. So it's a disaster, and it's going to get worse unless and until we go back to the scriptures as our source of truth and authority when it comes to education.
But what's interesting, too, is that a lot of the teachers, and by the way, there's a lot of really good and dedicated teachers in the system, including a lot of Christians and so forth, but the system itself is wherein, lay the problem. But I was going to say that some of the teachers union, they say, well, this is what the problem is. We just need more money.
Yeah, and that's what the teachers unions have been saying for a long time. You're absolutely right that there's some wonderful men and women, Christians within the system doing what they can, but they're in a straitjacket. If they were to tell the children the truth about Jesus Christ or about what the Bible teaches on marriage, just to pick an example, that it's a representation of the relationship between Christ and the church, they'd be fired faster than if they were molesting kids in the bathroom. And that's a fact, and we all know it, right? Christ is not allowed in the schools. So these are people who are doing their best with a rotten system. But we've really got to rethink it. And I'm grateful that awareness of this seems to be expanding. I worked with Pete Hegseth and Charlie Kirk and some others on that incredible Fox series, Miseducation of America, that goes over some of this. We recently did a documentary through the Providence Foundation called Educated for Liberty. So millions and millions of American parents are waking up to this. They're fleeing the government school system. But the reality is it comes from a poison seed. It's built on a poison foundation. So I'm grateful for the good, decent, honorable men and women trying to be a light in this very dark place. But, our children are suffering in a major way. And so I think personally, it's time for Christians to really go back to the scriptures. See, what does God expect of us when it comes to raising, educating, and discipling our children? And Ephesians 6:4 is a good place to start. You need to bring up your children in the fear, the discipline, the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. And, Jesus, he gave us a very simple litmus test. You're either with me or you're against me. He's quoted in two of the Gospels, Matthew and Luke, saying that. And at this point, I don't think there's anybody, including the wonderful Christian men and women who serve in this system, who would publicly argue that this system is with Christ. And so that leaves us only one option.
Now, the founding fathers who created this nation, one of the things they adopted in 1787, and I believe they readopted it in 1789 with the same wording, is the Northwest Ordinance. And the idea of it was, okay, each time a territory becomes a new state, they should basically follow certain templates. And as far as education, they said this in Article 3. And I've read it so much, I've basically has been memorized. Religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary for good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall be forever encouraged. Okay, these are words from the very same men who gave us the First Amendment, which is sometimes distorted to mean there shall be this strict separation of God and government, which is the way they try and, you can't mention God. This 10-year-old kid said grace in school, in public school. That's illegal. The very same men who gave us the First Amendment said that very ordinance that I said, that the first priority to teach in the schools was religion. The second is morality. Oh, and then there's knowledge.
That's right. And I mean, if you go back to the very first dictionary that was ever published in the United States, it was published by Noah Webster in 1828. He actually gives the definition of education, and he makes that same argument. He says very clearly that education in religion is absolutely essential. And he also says that an immense responsibility rests with parents, not the state, parents who neglect that duty. And so that was really the understanding. And I mean, if you go back to the very earliest law that we ever had on education in this, what eventually became the United States, this was in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. It was called the Old Deluder Satan Act. And I love this legislation. Right? The point was that Old Deluder Satan, one of his chief projects is to keep men from knowledge of the scriptures. And as such, every person in this colony must learn how to read. And of course, the statute did very clearly place that responsibility on parents, but they created a fail-safe mechanism where if you were in a large enough town, the town was supposed to appoint a single person who would make sure that parents had properly undertaken to teach their children to read so that, of course, Satan could not not deceive them by depriving them of knowledge of the scriptures. So that's really the history of education. If you go back and look at Harvard, Princeton, Yale, this was universally understood for centuries in America. It's only a recent phenomenon that we teach children that, well, you know, if God exists, he's completely irrelevant to everything, right? Science, history, math, English. It's an atrocity. It's a crime being perpetrated against children, if you ask me. And it is the key explanation for how our country went so far off the rails that we've now killed 70 million children and that we're now castrating our children under the guise of sex changes and on and on.
When you're saying killing 70 million children, you're talking about abortion?
Yes, of course, yep.
Okay. Now, we have a situation, obviously, where you have a lot of parents that are overworked and they're exhausted and they just wouldn't have time to pursue options like homeschool, or they wouldn't have the money to pursue things like Christian education. And the last thing I want to do is put any guilt trip on anybody, but it is important to understand, as you were saying earlier, God has given us these children, and he will hold us accountable for them, including their education.
There's no question about it. And the scriptures teach this from the beginning to the end. Parents are the ones who are going to give an account for how they raised, educated, and discipled their children. And, you know, the humanists have understood this for a long time. John Dewey and his cohorts who wrote the Humanist Manifesto were laughing at Christians. You know, we've got your children 5 days a week. What do you think you're going to do at 1 hour a week at Sunday school to contradict 5 days of humanistic teachings? So they understood that. The reality is, Jerry, that my wife and I, we homeschool. We use a wonderful program called Classical Conversation. We've got 6 children. And we did it when I was making $22,000 a year and my wife was not working. So it is possible. Almost every Christian school worth its salt will have a scholarship program. There's a lot of ways, and I would like to encourage church leaders to help facilitate this. You know, a lot of you have empty buildings 6 days a week, 5 days a week. You could have a homeschool co-op. There's all kinds of options out there. But I would really encourage parents to be in prayer about this. Yes, of course, there's going to be a financial sacrifice involved in taking charge of your children's education, whether that be homeschooling or a Christian school or some combination of the two, getting together with other families, whatever the case may be. But there's really very few things as important in life as the education and the discipleship we provide to our children. And this is one of those things where if you mess it up, you can't go back and do it again, right? Once it's done, it's done. So I would really prayerfully encourage parents to be in prayer about this, be in the Word of God about this, and see what the Holy Spirit shows you.
All right, good. What else do you want to say about turning American education around?
Well, I would really encourage people to dig deep into this. The history of how we got to this point is absolutely fascinating. It should be much better known. I've written 3 books on this. I did Crimes of the Educators with Dr. Samuel Blumenfeld in 2014.
Oh, okay. I've interviewed him in his home way back when. He's a fantastic guy, but he's since died, I believe, right?
Yes, he passed away a couple weeks after we released the book, actually.
Oh, my goodness. Can I just, if you don't mind, I just want to share a quick anecdote. He's the only guy I know personally who got converted reading John Calvin's The Institutes of the Christian Religion. And I asked him, how did that all come about? And he said, well, I was doing this book, The Rise of Public, or Is Public Education Necessary? And he said, as I studied this whole thing, I came to the conclusion that all roads led to John Calvin. So I thought, I better read the primary sources. So he read the primary sources, and he came to believe in Jesus Christ, you know, from his own background. I just thought that's fascinating. Okay, we have about a minute left. You go ahead and take over.
Amen. Yeah, Dr. Blumenfeld, he came from a Jewish background and came to know the Lord, and very grateful for that. And so I would encourage parents, just this is one of the most important decisions you will make in your lifetime. So get informed, make an informed decision, and just encourage you to be involved in the education and the upbringing of your children. So people can learn more at libertysentinel.org. And I really appreciate your work, Jerry. Thank you very much for having me on the program.
All right. Thank you so much. How about 20 seconds remain? How about America at 250? A thought about that and education.
Yeah, this is a really good time for parents to take charge. I mean, go back and look at what the founders did for education. Most of them were homeschooled. So we have an incredible opportunity to renew our country, but it's got to run right through education.
Alex Newman, LibertySentinel.org. Thank you, Alex. All the best.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.